B-Pod Studios.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever! Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy! Kansas City is the AFC champion! They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54!
Where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Couple of calls from the Chiefs and 49ers radio networks over the weekend. It's Chiefs 49ers in the Super Bowl. It's Patrick Mahomes against Jimmy G in Miami, less than 2 weeks away now. That's how it was decided this past weekend. You have any big thoughts on the weekend, Dan?
I love this game. I think it's in Vegas. It's as close as it gets, right? I mean, it's unusual to have. It's almost like a push, and it would be interesting to see how that line moves. I would have thought the Niners would have been favored. They just seem to be the more complete team, you know, both sides of the ball, etc. And I understand the quarterback thing, eight passes and protecting themselves from him and whatever you want to call it. Whereas the explosive offense is clearly Kansas City, the track team with Mahomes. I'm a little suspicious of their defense because of 24-0 and 10-0 in those two playoff games I watched, but and how they were the first half of the season. But I love this game. I think it's good for the NFL. I know there's a little bit of Patriot fatigue, not around here, but elsewhere is probably a good thing. And you got young quarterbacks that are
AFC high, title game ratings down 24% nationally.
24%. Oh. Wow, really? I didn't know it was that big.
How bad was the second one?
That's a Tennessee factor, don't you think? I mean, Kansas City's a pretty attractive.
Also,
team.
Last year the AFC game was the late game versus the early game.
Yeah.
Whether or not you think that matters, because even the early game is a late game.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
you're
not
still
like
etching out time of your day.
Start.
Right.
Three. So, yeah, 24% loss. They lost a quarter of the viewers from last year's AFC title game
That's
between the Patriots and Chiefs.
Patriots.
See, but that was a good game. That Tennessee game was a good game. There was a back and forth there for a while.
Yep.
And you could tell second quarter that Green Bay had no shot in that game.
Right.
So I'm wondering, like, how many sets just, I'm not going to sit here and watch this. I'm not going to watch a running game.
I'm sure many. So as far as the quarterback matchup goes, I think Mahomes making it to a Super Bowl is probably good for the league. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
He's the next great quarterback.
Here's your lead story going into this week. It's Mahomes. It's his week. Like, he's the one. I think he saves the coach. I think he does at times. Mm-hmm. Like, they still did stupid things in that game to give Tennessee second opportunities at scoring, at chances. Like, Tennessee got the ball down with Derrick Henry. They were running Henry really well, and they got it down inside the five, and I think they had a three-point lead. Then they got backed up on a stupid holding call, which I didn't see. I think it was Conklin on a holding call. Well, that gets him into, like, second and 22, and then Tannehill airmails one down the middle to A.J. Brown and almost gets picked off. And then it was third and 22, and instead of hitting a check down to set up a field goal for a better kick, the defensive coordinator from Kansas City. What the hell's his name? Come on. Steve Spagnuolo. Calls a man-to-man, cover two man. Nickel, instead of just going zone and just giving him and then tackling him and making him force him to kick a field goal, gives him a first down. They go down. They pulled that Vrabel touchdown pass that they always throw to Vrabel back in the day. Next thing you know, that thing's 17-7, and you're starting to think, holy crap, they got a shot.
Yeah.
Like, they did stupid things in that game. They're jumping off sides. You know, just weird things. Mahomes made plays outside the pocket. The touchdown pass to Watkins, that was a one-on-one play. Watkins threw his hand up, broke a route, and went. That team has so much freaking speed. I don't know how you're going to keep up with it if you're San Francisco. I really don't. I don't know if you can play man against them. I don't think San Francisco has the ability in their secondary to play man. I know Richard Sherman's running his mouth with Revis and that. I don't think Sherman can keep up with anybody. I know Gilmore can't keep up with Tyreek Hill. So you tell me how the hell Sherman's going to do it.
So who do you think is going to win the game?
I think Kansas City's going to win.
You do?
Yeah. I think here's the problem. Is Jimmy ready for a shootout?
No.
Is Jimmy ready to be able to throw and not turn the ball over? That's my question. Can you protect the football in this game? I like San Francisco's defense.
I'm not worried about them being unable to play man. And I know Terry Bradshaw, he's running his mouth. Yeah, well, I only threw it 11 times in the Super Bowl. That was 1979. when I was an 8-year-old kid watching the Terry Bradshaw run around and sling it. I think they played the Vikings that year, that Minnesota People Eater defense. I had 20 years never seen anything like this, or 30 years.
And for those...
The lack of throwing the football
on
the other side.
They didn't have to throw the ball.
I know they didn't have to throw
the ball. So why bother? What's the point? Look at all the points they scored. They ran all over them.
That may help them.
The Packers, what a bunch of morons.
Seriously, though, for 2 weeks now, if you're Andy Reid and you're Spagnuolo, are you really sitting there looking at it and saying, they're going to come out and try and run it down our throat? No. No. So this may be an advantage for Shanahan. The fact that...
Do it again?
That I haven't really shown you our good stuff, our good pass stuff. You know? And boy, did he protect Jimmy in that game. It was 10-5 and behind the line of scrimmage. It was quick stuff out of the hands. Real quick stuff, man. They didn't have to push it. I think the big one was the Kittle on a drag route that ended up being a 19-yard.
I mean, how many quarterbacks can you think of that would not have won that game if they were the quarterback of the Niners that day? Like, throwing the ball eight
times. Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson. There's guys that have won by riding your defense and riding a running game. But, I mean, it's a long time ago. Gone are the days of, you know, Roethlisberger, Peyton, and Tom, who have basically been the big three in that game for, what, the last 20 years. Yeah, changing of the guard here a little bit. It's up to you whether you want to stop it or not. Because they got a window here till they got to pay him.
Who?
Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes.
Because it's going to set back the way it did Seattle for a couple years, and then they finally got it going again. When you could keep these young quarterbacks on these entry-level, you know, deals, problem is, you think Dak wants 40 million? What the hell you think this kid's going to command? Seriously.
All of it.
North of 40.
All of it.
He's going to be your first north of 40 guy.
And your boy Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. Congratulations, Travis. Yeah.
You got to fight for your right to party.
Can
man.
I tell you one thing he said that I don't know why it bothered me, but it did. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, look at him, you know, yelling and preaching and all that stuff when he's up there on the stage. That he said it was 7 years in the making. Like, because you've been there for 7 years.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
What about the fans that have been here for
the other 43
years?
Yeah.
50 years for them.
That's 50 years. No, I'm saying, but fans that were there probably.
Yeah. Right.
For he was the only one thinking of it as 7 years.
Season ticket holder. Like, oh, it's all about you?
Well, it's his personal story. Yeah.
It was a weird thing to say.
I was sort of annoyed by that watching it. I'm like,
some guys will do
that. 7 years? Yeah. What? It's been 50 for this franchise. And I'm sure it's been decades for people that are sitting in the stands right now.
That'd be like Mark Bellhorn standing up when they won in 04 and saying,
this
is 2 years in the making.
2 years in the making.
It goes to show you that their time is now.
I would say
there's not another 7 years in the making here where you're going to be able to keep this crew together.
50 years for the Chiefs is the equivalent of 86 years in baseball, right? Football hasn't been around as long.
Yeah. Long time.
Where you look at it and you go, are you aware at all? Like, do you have any awareness of how the fans
outside of you?
Well, maybe like, the way maybe he's
or
talking
all
to
about you.
Well, it's talking to like how this offense has evolved and developed, right? Like they were almost there with Alex Smith.
So should Patrick Mahomes get up there and be like, "This is 3 years in the making here."
How long's Reed? How many years has Reed been there?
If I do one thing, if I'm Patrick Mahomes,
maybe that.
Danny's been there for a while now. 14,
that many.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's your 7-year window there to what he could be talking about.
He got to Kansas City in 2013. He's been there seven years.
Seven years in the making.
That's it.
That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Give him some slack there.
If I'm Mahomes, one thing I do this week.
Coach? Tito Francona. This is 1 year in the making.
Hey, do you quiet the girlfriend a little bit this week? Do you pull the reins back?
Good luck.
Like, let's.
How are you going to do that?
Let's just.
I don't think people really know about that.
I don't.
It's.
See?
Oblivious.
I don't think a lot of people know about that. Like, apparently,
Giselle posted too.
Girlfriend is posting yelling, screaming videos after the game. I don't know. What was she doing before the game? Was she a problem last week?
I don't think so. There's a problem here in New England, I guess.
Someone tune in and say all those people that doubted us and hated on us and thought we were going to lose this day. Yes, I did!
What'd she yell there at the end?
Kiss my. Guess again.
Guess again.
I thought there was a bad word in there.
I thought it was kiss.
I thought it was an F you.
Bleep you. Why'd she say, I just wanted to tune in? What? Is she tuning into a broadcast?
She doesn't
think people are tuning in. She doesn't really get it.
No.
Come on, tune in and say,
what's
all those people that doubted us and hated on us and thought we were going to lose this day? Yes, I did!
Yeah, you were a 7-point favorite. What the hell are you talking about, you idiot?
It's very Patriot-like.
They've been the favorite since they've entered, since they became the since they became the number 2 seed. They've been the favorite.
She just wanted to use
it. Yeah, there are a lot of doubters. A lot of people saying, oh, no way, Kansas City.
Rodney Harrison. Wait a minute. She was doing Let Me Clear My Throat. That was DJ Cole.
Why is this a problem for you? Some girlfriend yelling and screaming on a cell phone?
But if you follow the news or TV or it's everywhere.
NBC Nightly News.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Facebook,
it was
on Twitter.
Fox News. I've seen it nowhere except you sending the links. You and Jim text sending the links.
I didn't send that.
To see the videos.
Apparently, so is in Florida. It's only Fox News down there. So they must have been playing it on Fox News.
So a serious thing. And I've been predicting this for weeks. Got a call to the house down there. Answer machine picks up. Looking for Super Bowl tickets for the week. It's the highest priced Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. If anybody has any information on Super Bowl, please call this number. 1772. Blast it out. Like random calls. Just leaving messages about Super Bowl tickets. Because you're down in Florida. You're like, if anybody gets them, you may want to sell them. Because it's going to go for a lot of money.
Well, that's Zell's Hurley ticket report.
I told you it was going to be a problem.
Super Bowl tickets will be expensive.
That fan base.
A uniform story, too.
We'll tell you the latest.
Tickets and uniforms, two of those favorites.
These are my two favorite stories of all Super Week. The uniforms and the tickets. I love this.
Zell's got a tip. Super Bowl ticket, pricey.
Smartest decision the 49ers have ever done regarding their uniforms.
You may want to consider selling it.
The smartest.
You have one. Let's talk about the latest from Jason Lockenfora on Tom Brady.
That's it.
Oh, there you go.
Now he's upset.
Look at that story.
Nice going,
Bill. After the action update.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Finally, Tom, you continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's only been a couple weeks, and you know I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier I'm open-minded about the process, and you know at the same time I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy them from my couch.
Couch potato Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
Jim Gray, Westwood One, with Tom Brady over the weekend.
Probably have the avocados.
Why does that make you so mad?
That pisses.
It's just a lame joke.
Because he beats it into the ground.
You're like avocados?
I mean, are we months upon months past the avocado freaking jokes? The
avocados? Yeah,
Jim Gray, he's a simpleton anyway he tries to do this. I mean, you know, he's not the devil.
He's a nice man.
He's a nice enough guy.
He's a nice guy.
And he is sensitive, so I feel bad about the simpleton remark.
It's good to me.
I know.
You feel bad about it now?
A little.
You gotta take it back?
We had it out a few years ago. I did a similar thing, and he was not happy with me.
You and Jim had a falling out?
Jim's feelings get hurt easily.
Jim?
I understand.
Jim is
wait a minute. I want to know about this.
I can't even remember what the characterization was. It wasn't simpleton, but it was after the decision. I know that. And he had a quarrel with my characterization of him and his work. And he let me know, and I appreciate that.
Face-to-face. I'd like to know what...
That's good.
From a dollar sign perspective, like the amount of money that man has taken.
I was wondering that same thing.
Because he has been on TV forever.
Right.
He's been at every boxing match.
Yep.
Remember the Pete Rose thing,
right?
His
greatest day of his journalistic life.
I flat-out asked Brady,
99 World Series.
I flat-out asked Tom, why him? And he said, safe.
Well, that's a good answer.
Safe.
And he's right about that.
Not high, not low, where down the
not
middle.
Not the S word I would have used, but safe is certainly.
What S word would you have used, Dan?
Simpleton.
Simpleton.
That's just how
do you understand what a simpleton is?
Well, it's just how it comes.
It's like a person. No, it's like can't function.
It's how it comes across. I mean, like, it's just.
That's a simpleton.
Hey,
the man is
I had a conversation
to be around very important people.
I had a conversation with Jim Gray last year at the Super Bowl.
No.
The night before, he blew off TNR and left in a,
There are two separate times.
I remember a little bit about this.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the hell that, again, I have theories on that, but we don't have to go down that road again. But I told him that there's no one that is currently in that role on baseball broadcasts that would do what he did in 99.
Right.
And he said, what do you mean? I said, tell me the guy who is in a, you know, sort of, I don't want to call it sideline, but like the dugout reporter role.
It was like a Rosenthal.
I went through all the guys with him. I said, is Ken Rosenthal doing that?
No.
And he said, well, you never know. And I'm like, no, I do know. He wouldn't do that. Ken Rosenthal's not one to rock the boat on those broadcasts because that's a lucrative job. It probably pays really well, and you are not going to piss off the rights holder the way you went after Pete Rose. I said, I don't even think they'd put Pete Rose on TV now the way that they did when that happened in 99. But so you got a crack at him, and you went after somebody in the sideline role that nobody would do now. You're never going to see that again.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
So he told him that, and then the next day I'm coming out of the team hotel. It's in Atlanta last year, and like I walk right into this guy on the street. I go, holy crap, you're Stedman Graham. And then there's Jim. And Jim's like, hey, Scotty, what happened? And then this is right after the TNR thing went up. Like, what's wrong with them? Why do they got to do that? And I'm like, I didn't like know all the backstory and all that. And like, Jim's nice to me. I like Jim.
Jim's nice.
Very nice.
Safe.
I think we should get him on.
Is that what you said?
I think we should get him on.
Those guys are jerks. You're the best. I love you.
They like stirred up. They're shocked. No, they're shocked.
Given that Zoe was not with Fred or Rich, he crapped all over them to Jim Gray.
What's wrong with those guys?
I don't know. Stupid morning zoo. We're trying to do sports. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I back Zoe on that. It's okay to bury your teammates.
I think
in the interest of the greater.
I do think he got confused on the station he was on.
Yeah. That's my theory. Yeah.
I think you're right on that.
He thought he was on the other station with.
He's like, why would I get set up like that?
I said, I don't.
You were never on with them before. I tried telling you were never on with them before. There was no setup. Like, they weren't trying to set you up. I said that.
No, Hardy, I always tell
you. Well, we'll see. We'll see about this. You're going to hear more about this.
I tell our young reporters, like, if they establish relationships with players, you know, and then those players want to bury me, that just to join in. Yeah, he's a, we don't like, nobody likes work with him.
Nice.
I think it helps them, you know, do their jobs.
Common enemies.
If they're not aligned, you know, with me. So I don't want anybody fighting back with the players. I get that.
Did you do that with any of your elder colleagues when you first started?
No.
Players who didn't like them?
No.
No. Yeah. No. Because before you, players seemed to like the sports writers.
I don't know. But I never had really close relationships with players, surprisingly enough.
No?
As really? You would say. I mean, it was better before, but Zoe and I got along when he was playing. You know.
Do you remember, Dan, when you were playing?
Yes. I remember him and Will McDonough. And the only guy that I would really truly befriend was Will McDonough.
Yeah.
Only reason I did that, because I was get stuff out of him. Like, I would find him 3 hours prior to pregame.
Yeah.
Okay. What days were we off this week? He would know which days we had off in camp. And would tell all the players. And this is how he worked it.
Yeah.
Like, he told us everything. Parcells bringing this guy in for this guy. Oh, my God.
I answered his phone. Willie and I shared a common space. I answered his phone a lot. It was unbelievable. You know, Al Davis, Commissioner, OJ. You know, everybody checking. Al Davis offered me a job. We talk so often.
There were four guys. Yeah. There were four guys that stood out to cover it. It was Will. It was you. It was Nick Cafardo and the reason I was like, holy crap, what is this Nick Cafardo guy? What is the attraction? Because Terry Glenn would only talk to him.
Right.
And Terry didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
A guy by the name of Dan Pyers just stood there and never interviewed anybody. Yeah, and just thought he's just hanging out in the locker room.
Yeah.
Fist pumping guys. Saying goodbye. Hey, how you doing?
Good times. Yeah. God
rest his soul.
Pete Carroll once pulled me aside into some inner sanctum where we're not allowed to go to try to convince me that I should be the voice of positivity in New England. I should be the one to turn away all this negativity.
Oh, you could, you?
Yeah,
you pegged as that guy.
Yeah, it was a bad.
Because everybody reads Dan.
It was a bad ID by people. There was, but
oh my God,
he was so sincere, and he really was. He was pleading like this would be good for you, and you know you could be the one to really turn it around here and make people think good things about what we're doing down here and all this, because there was some negativity coming their way, because you know they went from 10-9 to 8 wins in his 3 years. I think it was probably third year.
Two other guys too, Ron Hobson and Kevin Mannix.
Yeah.
Mannix wrote this anti-offensive lineman thing about Pat Harlow, and I remember us as a six of us had to hold Pat Harlow down because he was going after Mannix in during lunch. And it's after Pat's like got his back thing and he's all amped up on Ultra Fuel and stuff. And like, settle down, Tonto.
All right, we'll hear about Tom Brady's weekend. You mentioned Al Davis. Well, his son Mark Davis was talking with Brady over the weekend. You'll hear about it next.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you like the idea of Brady in Las Vegas?
I think Tom Brady has played this season perfectly. He's maestroed this thing. Every single word that he said, even going back to post-game press conferences after games this season, has been completely cerebral. He asked out of his contract after 20 years, says he wants to control his destiny. Now, anything he does is going to garner conversation. Now, much to the chagrin of Patriots fans, but him talking to Mark Davis, and I had some inside sources that were at the fight watching old Conor McGregor beat the hell out of Cowboy Cerrone. But they said those two were talking for like 20 minutes or so. And I'm not sure what the conversation could have been about. Could have been about a new barber for Mark Davis, maybe. Could have been about how the Raiders have operated, possibly. But I think the much more likely thing is Mark Davis catching a little temperature on what Tom Brady's feeling, how he's thinking. And are the Raiders a potential home for him? New city, new franchise, new stadium. John Gruden would absolutely love and relish that opportunity.
That's Pat McAfee, former Colts punter, former Barstool guy, now ESPN.
You know what? He's another one of those guys going back to, you know, a week ago, with guys retiring early and saying, I'm done. McAfee's
he's
a guy.
One of them.
McAfee's one of those guys that said, I had enough, and just said, I'm done. And he could have kicked for 10 more years. Kicker. Freaking punter. And he was good. It's not like he sucked, you know?
No, he was. He had had enough football.
Yep.
So he was done. He retired. Remember when he retired? People were like, he can't be serious.
Right.
This must be some sort of stunt. No, he just didn't want to do it anymore. And he was done. So he says that Brady talked to Mark Davis for about 20 minutes at that UFC fight on Saturday night. 20 minutes of what?
Ah, easy. They're from, you know, Tom's from there. Talk local restaurants. Property.
They're not there anymore.
Hairstyle.
They're out. They're now the Vegas Raiders. We got an email earlier. Someone saying, when do they start in Vegas?
They took their name off.
This season, 2020. They're in Vegas. They're done. Right.
Five days ago, they removed the name Oakland
off
all their social media.
Everything has changed over to Vegas.
That hurts. Well, keeping the logo. The logos are the same, right?
So we theorized earlier, Dan.
Keep it.
He's talking to Mark Davis about, how's that new stadium coming along? Oh, how are your team facilities in Vegas looking? How's Gruden doing? It's nothing to do with, hey, I'm a free agent and I want to come play for you. But it's the, tell me a little something about your team.
Yeah.
Right?
Got my number?
Why don't you take my number? I don't know if you have my number.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Yeah.
All of that. I don't think they're stupid enough to be sitting there, you know, with people within earshot.
It's not like Kyrie.
Talking about, hey, I'm a free agent.
It's not like Kyrie and Durant at the All-Star game.
No, it's not that obvious. But it wouldn't be unusual for Tom Brady to talk to Mark Davis at a fight of any sort, whether it wouldn't be, you know, even if this were 2 years ago at the Pacquiao fight, if he saw Mark Davis, and maybe he did, it wouldn't be unusual for him to stop and talk to another NFL owner. But 20 minutes,
that's
the same guy. That's not a passing, hey, how you doing? Great to see you. 20 minutes is a real conversation.
Yeah. We didn't get a picture of the head coach and the girlfriend with the quarterback, though. They were in the building.
I did not know that until you sent me that Instagram post that – shows Bill and Linda were also at the fight, according to Instagram.
Her Instagram, all jazzed up. Yep.
Yeah, and he...
And maybe they did run into each other.
His outfit didn't exactly match hers, is how I felt.
He should have derbied, derbied it up. I mean, you're in Vegas, no tie, you know?
Right.
Don't go tieless. Or maybe he had a speaking engagement there. I don't know. But she looked like she was fight ready.
Fight ready. I'm going to show Dan the picture right now from Linda Holiday's Instagram.
I think... That's like every day, don't you
He's
think?
He's like, you know, she's very dressed up. She's got this, you know, beautiful,
right.
you know, dress on.
It's very nice.
Yeah. He's got, you know, black pants.
He looks like a
gray suit coat, white dress shirt, maroon tie.
He looks like Ernie Adams.
I'll tell you what he looks like.
That's what I have.
I saw this and I said, this is the guy. This is the guy. He's dressed up to do the collection at Sunday Mass.
That's it.
Like he's coming down the row with the basket.
That's my look.
And he's letting you know that this is the second collection this week for the food pantry. Like that's what he looks like.
How about?
Right.
How about?
That's what he always looks like.
She looks like she's ready for a night out on the town. She's going dancing. He's going to Mass.
Yeah.
He's got to get up early in the morning.
Charcoal gray suit.
What the hell?
Black silk shirt.
He's got to lose that tie.
Go with the Bradley Cooper look, right?
He can pull that off.
He looks like badass.
It's a little weird.
They're both of being themselves there. She's never going to dial it down, and that's him.
You don't want her to dial it down.
You know, no, right. And we don't want Bill to dial it up.
He can dial it up. I've seen him with some flashy gear. Look at him when he goes to the derby. He's got some threads.
Yeah. I like when he wears the George Halas hats, you know, the fedoras.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great, good one.
Great look.
That's really good.
That also suits him.
You know, also had a really nice hat at the
place.
Yeah.
Stupid Baker Mayfield and his dumb Indiana Jones, he didn't even bend the rim. Flat hat. You know what he looked like? The big guy in the Curious George thing.
Oh, the man in the yellow hat?
The man in the yellow hat.
Yeah.
The man in the yellow hat.
Dan's dates are coming up next.
Terrible.
Today is the 21st of January, and there's a historic Patriots date that will be included in these dates.
Ooh, so I am aware.
That is coming up.
My favorite.
That's next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So it's that time of the year. You see Girl Scout cookies.
Hey, Girl Scout cookies.
Everywhere, right?
I mean, yep.
How about taking the flavor of Girl Scout cookies and infusing it in your coffee at Dunkin'? That's what Dunkin' has done, because they have the Girl Scout cookie-inspired flavors.
They got Thin Mints?
Now at Dunkin'.
They got those Thin Mints?
Well, what they have is Thin Mints and coconut caramel coffee flavors.
Caramel.
I say caramel.
Hardy, what do you say, caramel? Caramel. Give me a caramel.
I don't say
caramel.
You
don't caramel. Say, hey, give me
you
a caramel.
You go say, give me caramel. They might look at you and say, I'm sorry, what is it you're asking
say,
for,
hey,
sir?
Hey, Hick from Pittsburgh, just get the guy a Dunkin' Donut, a Girl Scout flavored drink.
Yeah, you
drink.
Better order on the app before you go, because I'm not sure you're going to be able to communicate
that app.
What it is you're asking for. But it's the spirit of Girl Scouts meeting Dunkin' coffee right
sure
now.
Sure is.
That's a delicious cup of can-do. So get to Dunkin'.
Do it.
The Girl Scouts name and trademark and all associated trademarks and logo types, including the Thin Mints mark, are owned by Girl Scouts of the USA.
Sure.
Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Get to Dunkin'. Enjoy these Girl Scout-inspired flavor because America
runs on Dunkin'.
You got it.
Yummy. Hey, it's Zoe, and I have got some feedback from people asking me how I can endorse different foods while I also endorse Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Well, if they've been listening to Awaken 180 Weight Loss's message all along, they wouldn't have to ask that question. Why? Because Awaken 180 doesn't...
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates. It's January 21st. Fire away, Dan.
Okay, people that were born on this date that are no longer with us would be Stonewall Jackson.
Oh.
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman.
Telly Savalas.
Hey.
Benny Hill. Sam Mealy. Richie Havens. And Paul Allen. This was their birthday. None of them are with us. People that are living.
It is my mother's birthday today.
Excellent.
Nice lady.
Zoe's a big fan of my mother.
Sam Mealy, Twins manager.
Yeah.
Lived in Quincy for quite some time.
Oh, sure.
No, long time Quincy guy.
Regular guy.
No relation to Cam Mealy.
Played ball with Ted Williams, the whole thing. He was great. Other people will join your mom on this day. Baby Spice was born today.
Hell yeah.
44 years ago. Her name is Emma Bunton. Gina Davis, born in Wareham, 64 years ago.
Miscast a lot of movies. Big Lips.
What are you talking about? Name one movie she was miscast in.
I didn't like her in Beetlejuice.
She had to wear flats, though, because she's so tall.
It didn't work with him, with Alec Baldwin at the time.
She became an Olympic archer.
I like her as an actress.
League of Thrones, she was great.
Her best one was the one that they went off the cliff.
The Fly.
Thelma and Louise.
No, Thelma and Louise.
Yeah. Billy Ocean is 70 today.
Oh.
Suddenly.
Get out of my dreams.
He's 70.
Hey.
Wow, I did not expect him to be that old.
Get out of my dreams. And he said, what? Get into my car.
Beep, beep. Into my car.
Big one for you, Hardy. January 21, birthday for Jack Nicklaus. How old is he?
He is 80 years old today.
On the nose. Yeah. Big one for Jack. Placido Domingo is 79. He's a little bit of trouble. A little bit of Me Too trouble.
Tenor?
Yeah, is he a tenor? Was one of the three tenors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and who's the other one? Beatle would know this.
And the other guy.
He's
from Argentina. He wasn't as big a deal.
Hey, if you could turn on Placido. The radio and get Chile, what do you get if you open a window? Oh, if you could turn on the radio and get Argentina, what do you do if you open a window?
Chili.
I got it. Yeah. You
ruined the joke.
How old do you guys think Hakeem Olajuwon is?
Hakeem the Dream. He's older than
58.
Me.
57. Close enough.
Jesus. Let's guess.
Well, I think he was close.
What do you got to
that's
go?
That's close enough.
Well, we got a few minutes to for overtime here, and I'll be gone. Edwin Starr.
You stay until you're supposed to. For overtime's when you go
back. What is it good for?
How do you know that?
Edwin Starr, yeah.
Beetle, how did you know that that's what he did?
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
He's 78
Say it again.
Years old. 78 years old.
Good God, y'all.
Wah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
What is the Seinfeld episode where someone supposedly wrote it? Tolstoy.
That sounds like Al Pacino.
That was really good.
And a son of a woman. And he's the one singing it. Yeah.
The original title of War and Peace was right. War, What Is It Good For?
I like that. Other stuff that happened on January 21st. Louis XVI was executed for high treason in 1793.
Probably had it coming to him.
Yeah, he's probably deserved it. Jefferson Davis resigned as a senator from Mississippi on this date in 1861.
Jefferson
was one
Starship.
Of four senators that they were lining up for the Civil War at that time. So guys were bailing. This date was the formation of the AAU, which was the end of basketball as we know it today.
Your kids play, folks.
Not a big fan of AAU.
Not a fan of it either. I lived it, did it.
Get out of here.
Get out of town.
1903, Houdini escaped from a jail in Amsterdam.
Give me your top favorite songs by Houdini. 5 Minutes of Funk.
I don't know.
That's a good one.
I didn't know there was a band.
Separate the good stuff from the junk.
Nope, did not know that. Agatha Christie's first novel was published on this date, 1921. On this date, 1977, Jimmy Carter pardoned all the draft dodgers, the guys who went to Canada. They could come back. Come on back, guys.
Yeah.
On this date, 1981, Bernie Getz was assaulted on the subway for the first time.
That's why I don't ride the train.
He vowed that it would not happen to him again.
I'm never going to ride the train because of
that. He wasn't lying.
On this date in 1994, Lorena Bobbitt was found temporarily insane.
You think?
I don't know.
I'm glad Vrabel didn't win.
It's enough on that. On this date in 1978, Saturday Night Fever went to number one on the charts.
I tried watching Saturday Night Fever, a bit of it over the weekend.
Doesn't hold up.
No, it's another one of these crap 70s movies it's bad.
How about when he's sitting having dinner and he's in his tank top and he's combing his hair and he ends up, talk about another miscast female in a movie.
The love interest?
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John?
Who is
the love interest in that?
She was Audrey in European Vacation.
I couldn't tell you.
She's too old for that. Angie. So, she was on the TV show Angie.
Yeah, too old
No,
for that,
she so. Was Audrey in European Vacation. No, she Look was, it up.
100% 30 years apart.
Incorrect.
She misses Jack.
Hardy's right on this one.
It's,
I don't even know who it is.
If you reverse the ages of those two movies, maybe.
Doesn't work.
It could be her twin sister.
Oh, when the brother, the priest, he goes out with them to the club that night. He's like, you're dancing. It's really exciting. It's really exciting. Like, what? Why is this in the script? Who shot that? Who edited this? Left all this crap in here. Get to something. Dude, anything.
And then the Bee Gees kick in, and the movie just takes off.
Good for them.
The movie sucks.
Good for the career. Other sports stuff that happened on this date. In 1921, Kennesaw Mountain Landis became baseball commissioner. He was a forceful guy. Eight men out. That was the guy. On this date in 1963, Dizzy Dean and Al Simmons elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The writers passed over Joe DiMaggio in his first year of eligibility. So that set the precedent. Not letting this happen again. Bob Cousy scored 10 points in overtime to beget MVP honors in the NBA All-Star Game on this date in 1954. On this date in 79, Terry Bradshaw threw 4 touchdown passes to lead the Steelers to their third Super Bowl win. Oh, by the way, if the Niners win, they get 6, which ties them with you-know-who.
Yep, we can't let that happen. Let's go Chiefs.
Steelers, Patriots, and then the Niners would join the club of 6. The last thing I have for this date is 1994. Bob Kraft buys the Patriots. I'm in the video. He sent me he called me the next day.
That's you at the press conference.
Yeah.
Let's relive that first. The press conference, what was said.
My objective in doing this is to help bring a championship to New England. We didn't do this to be a doormat for any of the teams. We do like to win. We think everything is in place to make that happen.
Now, I will say that I wrote a glowing story about this.
You were rolling your eyes at the time. Who are you kidding?
No, a glowing story. Now, finally, we got a local guy. He knows what the Swan Boats, the whole thing. And he called me the next day.
He did. You know where I've actually read that? There's a copy of that, the front page of the Globe. You were on page one.
Yes. And he loved it so
much.
There's
one hanging in the building in Foxborough.
There was one in his office a long time ago.
I have mine of yours.
And he called to tell me how great that was, and I really got it, and it was so wonderful, and wasn't this going to be wonderful? And I said, Bob, I really appreciate your call. Please keep this in mind down the road if there's ever something that I write that you're not so hot about.
Oh, I'm sure that happens.
It's nothing personal. It's just a... It's
but I'm telling you, man, you push the needle with people.
So, yeah.
Whether good or bad, I mean... Yeah. Telling you, man, when you hit it and you get it right, it's like, frame it.
Yeah, see, right there.
I've done it.
You and Bob Kraft, you had your moments. Yeah, there you go.
So you told him. You warned him. I'm going to piss you off at some point.
At some point, you won't feel as good about me as you do today, but it's not personal. It's just the way I feel. Just good about it. Professional.
Anything else, Hardy?
Colonel Tom Parker died on this date.
I should have got that one.
In 1997. Big. Born Andreas van Kuik.
The king.
He was a Dutch immigrant. Oh, changed his name soon after he arrived, and he was afraid his entire life he was going to be deported.
Total fraud. Deserved it.
Oh, yeah. Build that wall between us and Dutchland. Stop that from ever happening again.
Boy.
Guy killed Elvis. He just kept the pills coming in, didn't he?
Yeah, the king went downhill with the colonel.
I think it was too
made him do all those crappy
sandwiches.
Movies, too.
Oh, God.
How bad were his sandwiches, though? Like, when you think of the way he made his peanut butter and banana sandwiches. And
I've never had a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich, but I would like to try it before I cast aspersions on it. Because I do like a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
34 seconds over. So have a good time in Florida, you guys. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Way to put
the work
in, Dan. Wow.
There he goes. We're having a nice conversation.
I could do that, like to say, hey, like in the middle of a conversation.
Is that
good.
To prove a point? That's it. Or something. You know how you know the old adage, never leave a good time to find a good time?
Yeah.
Dan will leave a good time to do nothing. It's like I don't have anything. I know I'm not gonna find anything better, but it's my time to go. Never overstay his welcome.
He's over there saying time's up. Yeah.
Gotta go.
See you later. Good place to be.
To.
Stupid bag he carries.
Out.
Unbelievable.
And he's right out the door.
Take the dandruff off your shoulders.
Just gets up and he leaves.
It's unbelievable. It's like a legend.
He wants to catch my headlines in the car. That's right.
Like Kevin Costner.
He'll hear him.
Kevin Costner left that baseball movie. Just walked off.
It started out as like a funny little joke for overtime.
He likes it. He digs this crap.
Now I think he likes the excuse to get up and walk out the door at one, no matter what.
Like it enhances him and his presence. Yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Intern, come fix this stuff in here.
All right. Well, let's get on to the 1 o'clock hour then without Dan. See you later, Dan. And we're back at it. We'll talk a little more football. Revisiting the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, who's now headed to the Super Bowl. We'll do that in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.